We're all here except Rob.
Oh, okay.
There we go. We're all present and accounted for.
All right. Well, wonderful. Before we get into the chapter, what is on your mind?
I don't know that I have anything on my mind at this point.
Yeah, we're going through the process. We're doing the folders. I mean, I think, doing the processes, so I feel good with what we're doing.
We're talking to clients slowly about it.
We don't have enough hours in the day. That's the problem.
How about some feedback? How did the and questions?
All positive. Clients love it. They feel special.
Good.
Yeah, I don't think has anybody had any negative?
I've had a couple who, they're old school. They like it how it is now. They don't want to be contacted once a month. Again, some of them they're pretty much on autopilot, those guys. So, I don't know, Rob, what would you suggest doing in that situation where you've got someone who doesn't necessarily want to buy into the process, but also at the same time provides a strong revenue, is easy to deal with, but just wants to kind of keep things the way they are right now?
I would, I mean, anytime somebody says that, see it as a yellow light, okay? It's kind of a warning light. It's not a good thing, right? Because they should want to hear from us. So the question is it them? Is it us? Is it, you know, what's going on? I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying it's a warning. So you might want to think to yourself, do I have all the money? Is the relationship as good as it could be? And what else can I do to convince this person that spending more time with me has value? So what you want to try and do is talk them into it, okay? Because the idea is that every human being in the world has other human beings in a box. Okay, so you've got a relationship with them, and they see you as their blank guy, right? In the old days, we were the stock guy, or we were the bond guy, or we were the idea guy, or we were this guy. And so the question is, do they see that you as their trusted advisor that's going to help them in all issues having to do, frankly, with their whole life? And that's the role that we want to take on as time goes on. And this is our introduction to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Rob, you know, we start. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I was just on a phone call with someone. I was trying to do a handoff to someone else here. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was late coming in here. But I said, well, we're going through a different process now. They never wanted to do a retirement plan. But she said, well, hey, I have time now. Can we start it right now? So I ended up doing it. Husband's got about $350,000in a 401k, and he's an executive at Comcast with stock options. Anyway, so now they're appreciating the plan, and I'm going to turn it off to Michelle or Matt. But that's where, hey, it's working because it's making them think like, hey, they got to, you know, I must force them into doing a plan over, you know, over the phone.
Well, that's a perfect example of turning a customer into a client.
Right.
Right? Before they were a customer, they bought and sold. They thought of the broker that they bought things from. Then then you get rehired as their trusted financial advisor, who is then going to be their consultant on all things having to do with their life, starting with a financial plan. Introduce the 24-month calendar, and with all those that good information, I mean, if their case is at all complicated, you can be such a big help to them. It's amazing. So going back to our, to the previous conversation, I would suggest really try and get them, tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it, and that it is not going to be sales calls. Sometimes I think, oh my God, he's going to try and sell me something every month. Because, in the past, maybe that's what we did. We called them, quarterly, and then we called them when we had something to sell them. So this is different. This is education. This is conversation. This is life discussions. So you know what they are, but part of it is you don't know what they are because you're learning. So both you and they need to try this. And after, 4 weeks of this, 4 months of this, you'll find, I think, that you'll like it, they'll like it, and it's a lot of times those are the people when you make your first phone call, you can't get them off the phone. They just want to tell you everything. And it's like, whoa, you didn't want to talk, and now I can't get you off the phone.
Yeah.
So, just keep be as persistent as you can, especially if they're an important client. I mean, it's really important.
So, okay.
Good conversation. Those are important. Remember, how you phrase this experience is very important. So just remember the speech and what you're doing. So the rationale is we had a problem. We're concerned about maintaining the level of service. The good news was we grew. The bad news is we ran out of time. So what we did was hire a consultant to analyze our practice, and we all determined together that we had a problem, and this is the solution that we came up with. And then you give them the speech. What we're going to do is offer each and every client multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? They'll always say the same thing. Wow, how are you going to be able to do that? Or how much more is this going to cost? But most of the time they say, how are you going to be able to do that? And you simply say, well, what we've determined that we can do this for approximately 100 people. Or 70 people each. And then they hold their breath and say, am I one of them? And you say yes, and they say phew, or no. Unfortunately, at this time, I'm not going to be able to personally service you, but I have I've taken the opportunity to introduce you to an associate of mine who is very experienced, wonderful person, and I've done is I told them that about our relationship and to treat you like family. And if, in fact, you are not satisfied with that relationship, I'm happy to find you someone else. And you notice that I didn't say you can come back. I'm happy to find someone else for you. And I'm not firing you. I'm simply reassigning you to somebody that has less than 100 clients or has a little different practice model. See? So it's very important how you phrase this. This is all about them, not you. This is not about you being cocky and having a $1 million minimum or any of that stuff. it has everything to do with time, and that you've basically run out of time and you must limit your practice. And they know this. Doctors limit their practice all the time. Certain lawyers you can't get. CPAs are full. You know, the good ones. It raises you in the eyes of the client. And all of a sudden, the client goes, oh, wow. So what do I have to do? Well, you have to do a financial plan, and you have to have a minimum of this amount. And they go, wow, okay, I can do that. Just like that, perfect example, right?
Yep.
She was just, you know, she needed a kick. So, perfect story. We talked last week about the Enthusiastic Endorse project. That was the homework. How did you do on that?
Started having the conversations and... It was interesting. I don't know that I got too many people who said that they enthusiastically endorsed. It was kind of a lukewarm, yeah, I guess so type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody jumped up and down about it. We were asking specifically about, it was, you know, we figured we would target together CPAs, attorneys, and anything financial related to try to gather all that information across the book on our first round of calls.
So, did you get any interesting conversations?
I didn't. And most of it was pretty straightforward, and like Brian said, kind of lukewarm. No one was really jumping out of their boots to recommend anyone.
And but that also led to some conversation about, well, then, you know, if that continues, and you're looking for somebody, maybe you might want to, we might have a conversation about that.
Good, good. And you got information, right? You got the names and the phone numbers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
At least the name. Yeah, good. So it's great for your practice to know that stuff. You need to know that. I would continue to do that. Make that a project every week or every month. You know, it should be a month-long project, I guess. Ask everybody. So keep doing that and just see, you know, let's see what you get. I mean, maybe I'm overly optimistic that you'll get, you know, 15% on each side, 15% that want a new one and 15% that are very happy with their person. Maybe not. Maybe they're all just sort of neutral. We'll see. It'll be really an interesting. It's a very interesting project. I love the fact that you're doing it.
Yes.
We're actually going to start brainstorming about events we can do with our current COIs that we're using already with our clients. So that's like kind of part one as we continue to ask for enthusiastically referred professionals. So. Twofold with us right now.
Good. Good. Okay. The other, you know, we had talked about the 24-month calendar. How is that going? What's going on with that?
The topics for 24 months.
We did
the first.
Yeah, we have 12 months.
We had
done.
The first 12 months done.
Did we?
Yep,
did we put them down?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the first 12 months done for this year.
Okay, and what
incorporating
what's
some
that?
Things that are just, you know, Morgan Stanley related, not you know, general topics. So.
And what will be the first educational topic? Is the first one the outlook for the year, or what's it look like?
Yeah, the first educational one is going to be the change in the RMD tax law for the
Secure Act.
And then the 2020 market outlook. And then February, we just have updating profiles, beneficiaries, using the Morgan Stanley digital tools, the app, things that make our lives a lot easier and our assistants' lives a lot easier.
That's great. The beneficiary would be a very interesting discussion.
Yeah.
They'll kind of want to know, what do you mean by... Yeah, what do you mean by beneficiary, you know?
So it's really updating contact information and then IRA beneficiary, or if the account needs a TOD, you know, kind of just making sure it's all up to date. So,
right.
So that the client, obviously their contact information is up to date, but if I have to talk to one of Matt's primary clients, that everything is there and up to date, so.
Well, there's... You know, you want to also probe for other beneficiaries, like beneficiaries of life insurance, beneficiaries of annuities. Because
yeah.
What you're looking for is that one-off situation where they kind of go, well, I don't know, you know, got some old life insurance policies, or we got a couple old annuities, and I haven't looked at them for a long time. Be very aware of, this is a very important topic for anybody that's had second or third marriage. That can be really screwed up. So, yeah. So those are great topics for finding assets and finding opportunity. Okay. This week we're talking about building meaningful relationships. We talked about also this concept of focus, you know, making sure that we're doing the important but not urgent projects. Supernova is a perfect example of important but not urgent. It's things that change the practice, that change your life, but aren't urgent. So when we're working, one of the things to do is to delegate as much as you can to anybody else that's capable of doing that work, so that you can spend more time on the important but not urgent matters. Okay? So, you know, we all have limited resources, and we have limited number of people that we can delegate to. But, and I know interns are impossible to get and all that stuff, but the idea is to, you know, identify where your time is going and try and make the absolute best use of it. Now, one of the things that Supernova does is the concept of displacement. You will be more productive because you'll be more productive. You're being busier. So the insidious thieves of time, which is procrastination, interruptions, distractions, emails, all the other things that get in the way of our true productivity, are eliminated to some degree by the process, by the 12-4-2 process. So that's great for keeping you productive and talking to your best clients or talking to your clients every month, right? So that part pretty much taken care of. The second part is acquisition. And so how do we build that same process in so that we don't fall victim to procrastination, interruptions? You can't be interrupted if you're on the phone, you know. I mean, you could be. They could try to, but you're not going to get interrupted. So that friendly wholesaler or that buddy coming in with a story about something can't talk to you if you're on the phone. So you'll be more productive. You'll be happier at the end of the day because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you'll get more out of it every day. So that takes care of the clients, but what about the prospecting? How do we build the same rituals into our prospecting, which is always a source of guilt for us if we're not doing it? So the question is, how do we do it? My suggestion is same thing. Build folders for your projects, put them into the scheduler just as if they're clients, have them pop up. You know, if it's a center, if you're working on a niche and developing a center of influence inside the niche, up comes the project, Armstrong Industries, up comes the center of the project, Armstrong. You get it. That's your hour. You're working on that project for that hour, that month. You call your center of influence inside Armstrong, set up an appointment to meet with them, and you go see them. So it's a ritual. So every month that pops up, and every month you move the ball down the field. You're developing that relationship. Same thing with other centers of influence, and same things with your prospects. If you have large prospects that are going to need time to develop, I mean, some big clients take, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year, more before you can close them. I suggest you build a folder for them, stick them into your 1242 model, and call them just like they were. So let's say you have 20 prospects. One comes up every day, and you call them and move the ball down the field. You just, you know, close for next appointment, close for the next whatever it is. And you just keep persistently developing the relationship. So to me, that's fun and will keep you on the important but not urgent items. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of like that. If everybody in the practice had 20 of those folders that they were working all the time, we would do more business. We would open more accounts, and we'd always be trying to fill that 18th, 19th, and 20th prospect. So it's just to me that kind of rounds out what we're trying to do. It's not overwhelming. You know, you've got five or six centers of influence, a couple of niches, and those things keep popping up every month. So you're constantly working on them, and you don't kind of go, oh, I forgot about that. I'm supposed to be working on that, but I haven't done anything on that for 3 or 4 months. And then it goes cold, and that's not good.
Right.
So to me, that's the way you kind of pull the whole thing together. And just over time, the other thing is, you know, I never ate lunch by myself. I always had an appointment for lunch. And I like doing that. It was my thing. You know, I like getting out, and I would meet prospects, I'd meet clients, and then when I was a manager, I'd take my FAs out to lunch. So I was always making good use of that time. So whether it's a coffee in the morning or a lunch or a breakfast, you know, whatever your rituals are, kind of build those in so that you're constantly prospecting. So just some ideas. Questions on that or anything in the monthly template client meetings? I think we talked about agendas and preparation for agendas. I really like having a good, solid agenda for a client. I like having the 24-month calendar, and I like the fact that people are now sending out executive summaries of their calls. It's work, but it keeps you organized, keeps our compliance family happy, and makes the clients very, very happy. So I think it's a pretty comprehensive process.
Yes.
So
I actually find that cathartic.
Just kind of going through it, you mean?
No, the after meeting summary.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Helps with compliance, too, because it's easy just to put that on the notes for the client every time you talk to them.
Unless you test it.
Yeah.
True.
It's really, it's wonderful from a compliance officer's point of view. Just think about it, right? You're doing everything right. You did a financial plan, so you know your clients. You know, they can't accuse you of not knowing them, their risk tolerance, et cetera. And then your fee-based service, so you can't be accused of churning the account. And then you call the client, you make a presentation, you then immortalize it with an executive summary of what you both agreed to. You get the date, the time. So the I say, you say problems are gone. So the three big killers from compliance are pretty much eliminated with just this process. So I think it has been very, very warmly received by compliance. Makes it so much easier for them. Anyway.
That's why I'm here, Rob, to make their lives easier.
That's me. Yeah, me too. No, but when I first introduced Supernova, the head of Merrill Lynch Compliance National, and we had like two floors of lawyers.
We have two floors of lawyers in every branch office.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Well, I mean, he stood up to the national managers meeting before I was introduced to come and speak, and he said, I want to introduce Rob Knapp, and the reason I'm introducing him is because if everyone would do Supernova, we could eliminate two floors of lawyers. So I always remember Dash. I was very complimented by that, and I think it's true. So you can never protect yourself from being sued. The question is, will you win? And this provides you the opportunity to have a better chance of winning than not winning. So
right.
Well, we're right about at our time.
Yeah, I think we got some work to do.
Well, you're rocking along. You're doing great. I'm pleased. Unless there's something you're not telling me, I think you're doing terrific.
Well, I have some weeks that are better than others, to be honest.
Well, that's, you know, this is new. This is like a complete makeover of your business, and you're doing it terrifically. It's, I mean, you're making more changes in your practice in a matter of 8 weeks than you probably made, you know, since you began. So
that's the truth.
Yeah. So give yourself credit. It's a big change. It's a lot of hard work. So congratulations.
Right.
Keep it up. Yep.
Sounds
I
good.
Think you'll continue to have good success and I think some fun results. So
all right.
Keep the story
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks,
have a
guys.
Good one.
I appreciate you too.
Take care.
Thank you.
Right,
yeah. Bye.
Thanks.